The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Lyra McKee was shot dead while observing rioting in the Creggan area of Derry on the 18th of April 2019. Little did the new IRA terror gang know that their carrying out of this murder would sound the death knell for their organisation, with more than a dozen Derry-based dissidents connected to it now facing criminal charges. Aiding the crackdown was the MI5 with a safe house bugging operation. And for more on this remarkable story, I'm joined on the line by Kieran Barnes, chief reporter for the Sunday Life newspaper. Kieran, can you explain how the reaction to Lyra McKee's horrendous murder ended up with the apparent crippling of the new IRA?
Yeah, Anton, police have described Lyra's murder as a watershed moment for the new IRA. It brought international focus on the gang. Now, they had been operating at a fairly low level in Northern Ireland for the previous 7 years. But after Lyra was killed, there was a decision taken at the highest levels of government to effectively shut the organisation down, or do their best to shut the organisation down. Now, since Lyra's murder, there's now been 14 people from Derry, 14 dissidents in Derry, charged with serious offences ranging from murder to ball making to rioting. And there's another three who's been charged with offences connected to disturbances involving the new IRA. So that's 17 Derry-based dissidents charged with various crimes since Lyra's death. It's effectively shut down the new IRA in Derry. They would only have a hardcore of about 30 members up there, and more than half of those suspected members are now facing charges.
And what's remarkable about the reporting that you've been providing is that it isn't that there was a swoop after that riot or after some public order offences and they gathered people up. This would appear to be the legacy of a long, involved, complicated and committed counter-terrorism campaign.
Yeah, that would be a fairly apt description. The new IRA was formed in 2012. It was an amalgamation of the real IRA, a vigilante group based in Derry called Direct Action Against Drugs, and former members of the Provisional IRA from East Tyrone. Now, the former pros from East Tyrone, who would be really experienced bomb makers and killers, they walked away after a few years. They weren't happy with the message that the gang was using. And also, it's worth saying that from its inception in 2012, there was a long-term agent at the heart of the new IRA. A year after Lyra's death, the decision was taken by his handlers in MI5 to break his cover. This was after he had arranged for two safe houses in Tyrone to be bugged while meetings of the new IRA's leadership was taking place in those properties. The meetings were secretly recorded, and they led to 9 senior dissident Republicans being charged with directing terrorism, 3 of whom are from Derry. So what you can see is after Lyra's death in 2019, you can see the government and the police in Northern Ireland making a real push towards this gang, particularly the unit which was based in Derry. The Derry unit would easily be the most active of any of the new IRA units in Northern Ireland. They would be, in the past 5 years alone, they've killed Lyra McKee. They've carried out more than 30 punishment shootings where they've kneecapped individuals on top of robberies, on top of various bomb attempts, and on top of various murder attempts. So, you know, it was almost like lancing the boil as far as the British government were concerned. And, you know, the outworking of that is now 17 people face charges.
And obviously those 17 cases are sub judice, so we can't comment on any of those individuals. But is it a fair inference that the weight of evidence is likely to be fairly significant that the prosecution service will produce, given what we're hearing about a long-term bugging campaign by MI5 and given the fact of a double agent being there for so long?
Yeah, well, the meetings lasted hours in both those safe houses, and the entire duration of the meeting is recorded and it's on tape. So you have individuals introducing themselves as the chief of staff of the IRA, the head of the army council of the IRA, and then they talk about stuff like planned shootings, planned bombings, robberies, finance, the direction of the organisation. So I would say that anyone who attended those meetings and who faced charges as a result of those meetings, they're going to jail for a long time.
Do we have any sense of how long the prosecutions are likely to take?
It's going to take a while. There's hours and hours of recordings. They'll have to be gone through with a fine-tooth comb. I'm sure the lawyers for the defendants are going to challenge every aspect of it. You know, there's already talk that the term had a case collapsed because an Asian provocateur was allegedly involved. So this will run, and it'll run for a long time. The wheels of justice turn very, very slowly in Northern Ireland. You know, we've got a similar case involving other prominent dissidents, which has been running from 2013, and still no closer to a conclusion. So I wouldn't be surprised if we were sitting here in 2025 having the same conversation about whether or not these people could be found guilty.
You mentioned about the decision being made to effectively burn the cover of the person who was acting as a double agent. That obviously ends a lot of years of background work to get him into a position where he could be of use. Do you know what caused that decision? Is it based on the public mood and that there isn't any public support after the murder of Lyra McKee?
Yeah, I don't think there was much public support for the new IRA beforehand. If you go in the anti-nationalist community where they're based, you know, there's a disdain for them. They've got a hardcore of supporters, and you know, if the new IRA didn't exist, these people would support a different gang. You know, it's just the way it is. But after Lyra's death, I think it helps focus people's minds, and they looked at it and they said, look, we need to bring these guys to an end. Prior to Lyra being murdered, they had exploded a car bomb, or I'd say the courthouse in Derry, and 30 minutes before the car bomb went off, a group of about 7 or 8 teenagers walked past the bomb. Now you can imagine, Anton, what would have happened if they had walked past when the bomb went off. To be dead, you'd be talking about multiple fatalities. So I think that combined with the Lyra murder, which happened 4 months later, people looked at it. Senior people in the police, senior people in government looked at it and said, right, we need to shut these guys down. And the decision, my understanding, was taken to hasten this individual's exposure who was within the new IRA and was feeding information back to his handlers.
You mentioned yourself, though, that phrase of, if it wasn't the new IRA, they'd be in a different gang. Does the dissolution of the operations of the however little organised new IRA make a big difference to base criminality and terrorism? Will the members just go elsewhere to do the same things?
I think so, but what you'll also find is they would probably need to create a new group, because you know, if there's other established dissident groups. I think you've got to understand too, Anton, that dissident Republicans, violent dissident Republicans, they aren't that strong. You know, there's this misconception that they're armed and they're dangerous and they can carry out operations at a whim. They can't. They're very, very weak. They've little weaponry. You look at I'll give you an example. The gun used to kill Lyra McKee was a fairly low caliber weapon. It's a target practice gun. And after that murder, because the murder was so, you know, it made international headlines, you would have thought that, and given that the gun wasn't much use anyway, you would have thought to throw it in the River Foyle and it runs through there. But they didn't. They held on to it. They buried it. And a year later, the gun was found. People have been charged as a result of DNA being found on the gun. So if the new IRA were armed, if they were dangerous, if they had the capability to do of running an effective terror campaign, they would have got rid of that gun because it was so hard to handle. But they didn't. They kept it. And again, that's an indication of just how weak and how badly armed they are. So the people who support them, they'd move on to other organisations. The people who are in the new IRA currently were members of other organisations which were dissolved. So, you know, they're terror tourists, for want of a better phrase.
And Kieran, what about, is it also a misconception that there is a rise in discontent and disenfranchisement and a rise in the fertility of the ground in which you can grow that kind of terrorist violence in recent years?
Yeah, you're always going to get, there's always going to be people within Northern Ireland who will violently resist the presence of the fact that Northern Ireland's part of the UK. You're always going to get that. That is never, ever going away. So if the new IRA was shut down completely tomorrow, I have no doubt that within a year, the 18 months, you'd probably find a new group that would emerge from the ashes of the new IRA to carry on that militaristic flame.
Kieran, thank you very much. That's Kieran Barnes, Chief Reporter with The Sunday Life.